Well, let's read John 3:16 this evening, 17 and 18, as we open this lesson on the honor of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, we say this almost every lesson. In verse 17, it says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world or judge the world. He said, but that the world through him might be saved. We are not to condemn either. And so I believe personally that from the Word of God, every spirit that comes into this world has been lit by God. And I personally believe they know right from wrong. There's a knowing in a person. They may choose to do wrong, but you don't need to condemn a person. We need to preach the gospel, preach hope, preach what God has told us to preach. Go into all the world, lay hands on the sick, make disciples of all men, and raise the dead, and so forth. As the Great Commission exhorts us to do, and to love one another. And so even Jesus, he didn't go and condemn sinners. He preached hope in the gospel, did he not? Amen. Well, let's turn for a moment. I want us to go back to this, and let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, and let's look at verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. And I'll read that. When you get there, say amen. You're quick. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. It says, Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thine house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And actually, you can go back and you can read the entire story about what happened here. And of course, you can go back and you can see how Eli did not manage his sons and his family well. And they dishonored the Lord. And of course, you can read in verse 12, it says, Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. My margin says worthless men. That's not too good, is it now? And it also says they knew not the Lord. And the NIV says they had no regard for the Lord. So when somebody has no regard for the Lord, they have no regard for God's things, they don't honor him. They despise, or they disregard, or they count, they don't count them valuable. And so you can see here that if you continue in this after verse 30 and you go over into chapter 3 and chapter 4, you can see that in 1 Samuel, they lost their place. And you can begin to see how God began to elevate Samuel and so forth, and how Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and I forget the name. What's the child? Hophni and Phinehas. They lost their lives. And Eli, what happened to Eli? He fell over and died. And so some bad stuff came because he didn't honor the Lord. And I believe it said over here in chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house." This is what he said to Samuel. "Forever for the iniquity which he knoweth." So Eli knew it. And it said, "Because his sons made themselves vile." And my margin says, "drew a curse upon themselves. And he restrained them not." So he didn't restrain his children. And so again, as parents, you know, we need to, we ought not let our children be disrespectful at home to us or to God and his things, you see. So as we were sharing, I was sharing on Sunday, when you honor something, you're expressing and demonstrating that it is valuable to you. And so we touched on that. And of course, we shared, a few instances about the Shunammite woman and also Cornelius. We talked about how they honored and how God honored them. Now, this evening, I want to take a few moments and I want to highlight something. I believe we ended. I may have mentioned this scripture last Sunday. But let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 19. I want to spend a few minutes here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. And you know, one thing we know about the honor of God is that he's honored us just by choosing us. And let's look at starting in verse 19 in 2 Timothy. There's a preacher for you. It says, "Nevertheless," this is in the King James Version, "nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity." That means anything that's unrighteous, not right with God. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Verse 21. Well, let me just stop there for a second. You can see it's an interesting how the Spirit of God had this penned, but it talks about vessels, or we can say containers, but it's used in the sense of being in a house. Let me ask this question. When you think about that, do you have different types of vessels or containers in your house? We all do, right? We have some that we use at the dinner table. And then we have some containers that we put garbage in, right? We're not discounting, but he's using this analogy here about in a house there are some, what does it say here? In a great house, not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. There's some that are just, you know, menial kind of containers. You know, we wouldn't take a garbage can or something that we would contain garbage and put it on the dinner table. We wouldn't do that, you see. And so, and when you see this, it says vessels are referring to containers. Some are used for, this says vessels of honor, but we might say noble purposes. So something that's a vessel of honor is going to be used for a noble purpose, or some are ignoble purposes. You know what ignoble means? It means not deserving respect. It just means not honorable. So in here, it's saying some are going to be used, some vessels or containers are going to be used for a very important purpose, a noble purpose, and some for ignoble purposes. Right? So here's the thing. The question is, how do you get to be a vessel of honor? Well, verse 21, it starts to tell us. So when you think about a vessel, even think about this. We are vessels. You and I are vessels. We're containers. Containers, that means there's something in us and things that come through us. Right? If you're a vessel, you're a container of something. That means there's something inside of you that can come out or through you, for, like a cup, that can hold something and be poured out to someone and for a purpose. Is that not correct? So, do we have a responsibility for being a vessel unto honor? Do we have a responsibility? Yes, we do. And that's what verse 21 is saying. If a man therefore purge himself from these what? He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and what? Prepared unto every good work. So here you can see when it says, if a man therefore purge himself, there's some things, when we talk about cleansing, there's some things that only the blood of Jesus can do. But there's some cleansing that only you can do for yourself. And you know what that's called? Separation. You have to separate yourself from things in this earth. You have to separate yourself from sin. And so there's some things that God's not going to do. You have to do that. You know, you can pray and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus and then step right back into those things and defile yourself and not be, another word would be, not qualified. You see, not qualified to be used as a vessel of honor for a special purpose. If you are defiled, then how can God operate through you in, let's say, a purpose that he would have a problem with? Right? God separates himself from sin. Right? Jesus worked and worked amongst sinners, but if he says here, if a man purges himself, then he shall be a vessel unto honor, what? Sanctified, and what? Meet for the master's use. So that means, and prepared unto every good work. So if we don't do that, then what happens? You're not meet for the master's use, and you're not prepared unto every good work. Then what does it say in verse 22? Flee also youthful lusts, but follow what? After righteousness, those things that are right. Faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be what? Gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, when you look at verse 21, when it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, The New American Standard says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor. And the Complete Jewish Bible says, he will be a vessel set aside for honorable use by the master of the house and ready for every kind of good work. So that means when we purge ourselves, this says here, we're set aside for honorable use. So we have some choices to make, you see. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because there are a number of scriptures that talk about what our responsibility is. Of course, we're just highlighting this, but you can see other scriptures that support that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and look at starting in verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness and unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? See, here we're talking about separation, all looking back at being, how do we become vessels of honor? Well, right here, we separate ourselves. And it says, 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Now I'm going to stop here. You're the temple. You're a vessel. You're the temple of God. You are a vessel of honor. And so we're talking about a temple, a vessel. You are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate. This is exactly what 2 Timothy is talking about. Same thing. Purge yourself. Be ye separate. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Verse 17. I having, and we're continuing, because 18 is the last in chapter 6, and I'm sorry, not 17, verse 7, chapter 7, excuse me. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, what? Cleanse ourselves. That's what it's saying in 2 Timothy. If a man purge himself from these. And it says here, let us cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So you can see here that we have got some responsibility to do to become what? A vessel set aside for honorable use for the master's work. And this is something that we all can grow in because there are levels of use in the body of Christ. And so as we cleanse ourselves, as we separate ourselves, then God, we make ourselves meet and useful for the master. Amen. We become qualified. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. And this is Paul now writing to the church of Corinth. But look what Paul said. But I keep under what? I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be, what? A castaway. Now, a castaway in this here, the Greek definition for this is not standing the test, not approved. So even Paul, with the revelation that he had to keep his body under lest he should become not approved. It says here, that which does not prove itself such as it ought, unfit, reprobate, unproved. So that means that any one of us, even in the positions that we are, look what happened to Eli. He was elevated to a position. He did not manage or control his family. And he allowed some things. He was disqualified. So that means every one of us, through our walk with Christ, have choices to make. And we can become a vessel of honor or dishonor. Amen. And also, look what Paul said here. He said, I keep my body. He didn't say, I did it once, and that was it, did he? He said, I keep. So that means he had to do this on more than one occasion, didn't he? He had to keep it under. So, one of the things that we think about so often, and I think this is something that we have to make sure we grow in, is that we can miss something. We can miss it with God, and God will forgive you. He will cleanse you with His blood. But you can disqualify yourself by your actions or how you conduct yourself. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. He'll forgive you. But you could disqualify yourself by something that you do. Isn't that true? It's true. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's look at verse 26. So how do we become a vessel of honor? We must purge ourselves from that which defiles, that which is unclean. Or we have to separate ourselves, in other words. So starting in verse 26 in Romans chapter 1, it says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. When you look this word up, vile, in the Greek, it means dishonor, disgrace. So they did what? It said God gave them up for dishonorable affections. So you can see here that some things that you could entertain will cause dishonor or dishonorable affections. In other words, what he's saying is we need to separate ourselves from that which is unclean. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 4, I believe it is. 1 Thessalonians, pages are sticking here. Let me get there. Says, well, let me start in 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know what? How to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So, part of becoming a vessel of honor is separating ourselves and keeping our body under, and as it says here, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We have to separate ourselves. First Corinthians chapter 5. Let's back up again. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Somebody might say, well, what does this have to do with me? I don't know, but I'll tell you, we all can learn from it and grow. And I would just say this, if you want to become more qualified for God, sometimes it's not, you know, some of these things are, what would I call, you know, we call them a sexual or fleshly kind of things. But, you know, we can not know how to possess our mouth properly. And so your mouth can run a certain way, which is a reflection of what you're thinking and your attitude, and you can dishonor God by dishonoring one another and dishonoring people. It doesn't have to be fleshy kind of things from a sexual nature, but it can be our attitudes that we have towards one another, that we don't love and treat one another with respect. And we can then disqualify ourselves for an honorable use. Because when we talk about the honor of God, we're talking about his, what it said in Numbers, it said, as Moses put some of his honor upon Joshua, some of his authority, some of the anointing that rested upon him, some of his power that he had. And so sometimes how we operate in this earth realm can disqualify ourselves to receive additional authority, additional place in God, additional anointing, additional glory and power. And I'm going to tell you one thing, another thing, which may be another lesson, but I can tell you there's a good link between honor and miracles. And we can thwart the miracles of God by not maintaining this vessel properly, because it'd be offensive to God. I remember one time Pastor Clinton, you know, when he shared this privately, when the band was together and playing on the floor. He said, you know, and again, this is one thing that you always have to be conscious of with musicians, because sometimes musicians think, I'm all that. And singers, I'm all that. I heard one time, trying to think of the bishop's name, I think I remember his name, but anyways, I won't use where, I'll just use the situation, so then it won't bring a negative light to anyone or anything. But this particular singer said to this very well-known bishop, you don't tell me, I don't tell you how to preach when you get in the pulpit, and you don't tell me how to sing in front. And that bishop said, pack your bags and leave. And so I'm saying that sometimes musicians, if their attitude isn't right, it can be offensive to the Holy Ghost. And Pastor Clinton shared this one time that he was playing, and he said it felt like a coat began to rest upon him, an anointing. And of course, we all saw that as he operated. I knew in the sound booth and singing with him and being in the choir, I knew the minute he hit a chord, I said, here we go. I could sense it. He'd hit a chord that he wouldn't normally hit, and he was off in the spirit singing a new song, and I knew it. We all knew it. But he said this one time, one of the musicians wanted to do a little riff on the keyboard. And he said, it lifted, it went. And he said, no, no, no. Holy Ghost was grieved. You see. So when we get in settings where God is operating and moving, your vessel can be tied to the move of God and how we maintain this vessel. And I believe God wants to increase here, and we all have got to examine, as the scripture says, examine and see, are we in any way hindering God in what he wants to do? Personally or corporately. Can be any of it, you see. So, did you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Okay, verse 6, starting in 6. It says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. And so forth, and you can read down. But what he's talking about here is even maintaining your vessel about who you keep company with. Who you keep company with. And we need to be conscious of that, because it can affect you and how God uses you. See, it's not so much, I think some people say, well, you know, I want to sit and break bread with them because they're, you know, they need Christ, as you are led. But when it talks about here, somebody who's knowingly in sin is a different thing. And we need to all, we'll all know, but the scripture here tells us even to watch who we break bread with, who we fellowship with. Because the scripture talks about what fellowship hath light with darkness, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, you see. And so, as we grow, we want to purge ourselves of anything that is offensive to the Holy Ghost. And I would say it this way, because, and we know this from just sharing the Word of God, don't put yourself in condemnation about something if the Holy Ghost doesn't reveal it to you. See, you can't be held accountable for something that you don't know. The minute you know something, you are accountable. You see. And so when you have the understanding and the revelation of something, and you know it, then God holds us accountable. But you can't be held accountable for something that you don't know or understand. You see. Let's turn quickly to James chapter 3. And we'll close with this. James chapter 3. And let's look at verse 6 through 12. Talking about being a vessel set apart. Vessel of honor. A noble vessel. Starting in verse 6 of James 3, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of what? Iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it what? It defileth, you see. So when we're talking about purging ourselves, here's something that will defile you. Your tongue, your mouth. It defileth what? The whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of what? Of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea and is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth what? Blessing and cursing. My brethren, what? These things ought not to be, or so to be. Verse 11, doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So we can see here, even purging ourselves, even purging, you know, we're talking about things that we do, things that we get involved with, things we say, we need to purge ourselves. How are we conducting ourselves? Are we conducting ourselves in a Christ-like way that God can begin to use us in an honorable way, in a more noble way? Does that understand? Everybody understand that? In a more significant capacity. How many want to be used of God? We all do. But there's a responsibility. Let me ask this question, everybody. I know I don't have children, natural children. But I was a natural child at one point, and I've grown into a natural man. But I can remember as a child, when I didn't do things right, I wasn't what? Able to do certain things, right? And so when I did something that was not too good at home, I lost some what? Privileges. And so didn't mean my parents didn't love me. They didn't kick me out of the house. They didn't stop feeding me. They didn't stop clothing me. But I lost some privileges because I didn't do the things that honored them or didn't do the things that they wanted me to do. And that's no different with God. He doesn't stop loving us, but we can lose some privileges where God wants to use us in a more noble way. And so for us, every one of us, I believe that He wants us to grow a little bit more in this area. It may pinch. It always pinches when we have to make change. You know. But when we make that change, I believe God begins to use us in a greater way, however that is. But I'm also convinced, I really am convinced, that where there's a great honor for God, there's the capacity or the prevalence of miracles. You create a climate for God. We're vessels. Who does He operate through? Us. And so you can't be fit for the Master's use and expect miracles to operate in your presence. Because God, He don't operate that way. He don't operate that way. And so I'm just sharing that, something that's, you know, in my heart to share, and that we all grow in this area, and we expect to see greater manifestations of God in our midst. And we're directly linked to that. You know, I heard Brother Hagin say sometimes that some ministries, even individuals, never reach their destined purpose because they thwart that because of something they did or something they do. We have an impact on that. You know, somebody who's leading a group, they can see where to go. I mean, look at Moses. Moses was saying, hey, let's go. And you got a whole bunch of unbelievers, and they go, we can't take that. We can't go. But you had a leader that saw it and was directing them, but they're dragging their feet in unbelief. So what they do? They roam around in the desert. And can you imagine Joshua and Caleb had to go along with them? Boy, talk about love there. Right? So let's just look at that scripture as we close. How do we become a vessel unto honor? It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Amen. Praise God. I hope you got a little something out of that, something to chew on. And I believe it'll help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, if it pinches, it pinches. But Father, we desire. We desire to be used in a greater way. Greater than what we were used in the past. And we desire to be used in a greater way, Father. And Father, show us where we need to make corrections. And Father, if you show us, we determine to change it. Because we desire this place to be just as you said, a place of miracles, a place of deliverance, a place where you are honored. And you shared through Brother Copeland many years ago, this is a mighty church. And so, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.